Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And it's kind of weird today, I just have to be honest, because I don't have Ziggy and I don't have Venerable Tom Dorian with us today, but I do have two really good replacements. So I've got my boss here, Sam Mock, and this is like once a year I got to do something. I throw him a bone. I got to make him feel good about him being a boss and whatever. So I said, "Hey, you want to be on the show?" And he's like, "Well, thanks, Jeff. You know, and
you're
so,
the best, yeah. Jeff. Thanks, man."
So Sam Mock is here. He is the director of our little department of evangelization and faith formation at the Diocese of Memphis. So he's a man that knows how to share the word of God. So that's a good thing. At least he tells us that.
I'm aspiring to every day to get better and better.
And that's, shouldn't we all?
Amen.
And yes. If only, and that amen, by the way, came from another guy that Sam toted along here with us, who's out of Denver, a guy named Austin Habish. And we are so glad to have you here, Austin.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so, man, you actually sound really cool and laid back, and that's really neat. I don't know if that's an act.
It's the Carthusian Monastery. We'll do that to you.
You know, maybe, there's some history there, right?
There's
some history. Tell us just a brief little bit about that history.
So I was a seminarian, diocesan seminarian, for 3.5 years immediately after my time at the University of Kansas. I was studying marketing. And while I was there, I discovered that I felt like I had a call to the religious state. And I had been doing door-to-door evangelization before that. But the call for me at that time was to the contemplative life. And so I found myself in a Carthusian monastery in England. And it was paradise, absolute paradise.
But some reason we left paradise.
Did you eat from the wrong tree? Did you get kicked out? Or?
Well, I like.
Well, we don't.
That's, oh, sorry, that's
another show.
TMI.
So we assume the best. I think a little bit like our Lord. I mean, all of us are seeking to imitate our Lord. So don't take this comparison too seriously. But our Lord left heaven. And he left heaven for our sake, so
wow.
That's why I...
Okay, that was a zinger.
No,
both of us
shining his halo
terrible.
Right here.
I've answered that
we
question.
Always go towards the scandal, because that sells more donuts. I mean, honestly, yeah. People get excited about the scandal.
I can't wait to see the title of this episode. Right. Right.
Anyway, it's like, it's lovely to have you here, and we're talking about a really interesting topic today, because... Once you left that experience, once you left paradise, mm-hmm. for this paradise on earth, as it were, you said you were involved in door-to-door evangelization. And when you say that, by the way, that does honestly strike fear in the hearts of most Catholics, mm-hmm. and I mean me included. A lot of people are like, we're very comfortable in our Catholic zones, right? We're very comfortable in our parishes. We're very comfortable in our Bible studies and our experiences that we have with other Catholic friends, even in like our little Catholic social cultural groups, like our family experiences and things. But we're not as comfortable when we go to the grocery store or and Lord knows we don't want to go knocking on somebody's door, you know, interrupt their private experience. Just to give them some good news or something. We're not going to do that. So it's already something that's, I don't want to say off-putting, but it does need a little bit of a sell job, I think. And that's why we brought you here, because you got involved.
To sell it.
Yeah, exactly.
As a hard sell.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I get, you know, you can't sell what you give away, right? So at the end of the day, there's a bonus there, but... how did you get involved? I mean, did you always have a heart for like door-to-door evangelization?
I had a stint in the Protestant world. I was in the non-denominational church during college, so that was very formative.
Now, were you born and raised Catholic?
I was.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I went through that as well.
Okay.
Went in college. It was post-college for me.
Okay.
Maybe in my 30s, I started going like, what is all this about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I found my way into the non-denominational evangelical church. It was exciting for about 6 months.
Oh, wow. I was there for about 2 years.
Right.
I dropped out of Catholicism in university because I wasn't sure about, does God exist? Do I have a soul? More of those fundamental questions. The Protestant church picked me up. They had such a strong emphasis on evangelization. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a roommate who was Protestant, and he had a whiteboard in our room that he had names on it of everyone he was discipling. So he had like these 10 names, and you can't have nine names. So I had to put the names of the people I was trying to disciple on that as well to try and keep up with them. Some of that's healthy. Some of it's not healthy. But the Eucharist...
Did you ever look to see if your name was on the board?
It probably needed to be. I mean, he was discipling me in many ways.
Yeah,
he was
awesome.
very formative for me in that time. The Eucharist brings me back. So just the true presence, I stumble in on a homily on the Eucharist. I had never known. I was raised Catholic. I had never known that that was distinctive. The true presence, transubstantiation, was distinctive to us. I understood it, but I didn't know that other Christian churches didn't believe that. So I come back. I go to seminary immediately. And
that's a man of action, by the way. Here's a good homily, and he goes to seminary. You should have told that priest or whoever was preaching that, you know.
Oh, we're in touch.
Good.
I let him know.
So he rivals Ambrose, you know.
He's preaching.
With conversion of Augustine. He took less time.
Did you start calling him Father Golden time?
Yeah.
You
know?
It was incredible, the work of grace coming back to the Catholic Church. So I go to seminary. And what starts Sent Evangelization Catholic door-to-door is I'm sitting in a room with a group of other seminarians, and we have a visiting priest, and he draws on the whiteboard a square, and he says this square is the parish territory, all the souls within it the parish is responsible for. He draws a church at its center, some small houses drawn around it, and he says within this territory, drawing a smaller circle around the church, that's how many people within the territory also exist within the church as well as Catholics. In the Archdiocese of Denver, that's only about 15%. So he said, what are we doing for everybody else? So that was the question that started Sent Evangelization. So the room was entirely quiet. No one had a response. And so he gave us a response. He said, well, we just go knock on their doors. So I started knocking on doors. But the question, of course, is how do you do it in a Catholic way?
That's a big question. You mentioned a couple times Sent Evangelization. Tell us about that organization. You co-founded that? Is that the truth there?
That's correct. So Sent Evangelization started in 2017. So it's Catholic neighborhood evangelization. We'll go into parishes. We'll launch teams. We'll teach dioceses. Right now we have the video series on Formed. We have the audio tape, Lighthouse Media. So there's probably Sent Evangelization teams out there that I'm completely unaware of.
Wow.
I'll get an email every once in a while where someone from a parish will say, hey, we watched your training series and we're going out this weekend. God bless you. Thank you for what you do. But training parishes, dioceses, how to do neighborhood evangelization, and then myself as an individual, I make sure that I'm knocking doors. I got out this Sunday, Saturday, and Thursday to go knock doors. I try and take an hour out there because, I mean, how can I preach to people how to evangelize if I'm not doing it myself? And it's so good just for the soul to go out and to speak to others. So that's what Sent Evangelization is. It's a method. It's a way for parishes to complete Canon Law 771, which requires the pastor to bring the gospel to non-believers living within the territory to no less extent than the faithful, which is kind of a high bar. But
that's an extremely high bar. In fact, I was familiar with that responsibility, but not to no less extent.
And that's what it says, to no less extent.
So maybe I should reread that part, because that's a huge challenge. I mean, I'm involved in so many different parishes. And when they talk about outreach, what they're talking about are people that come to them in need.
Yeah, in reach.
Typically, right? You know, and it's not so much... And you were right when you were mentioning earlier that our Protestant separated brothers and sisters, they really, like, that's their whole thing. They know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot better than we know how to do that. And yet we got the goods.
When it comes to evangelization, it's interesting. I mentioned it in the video series on Formed, but I think Pew Research said that 2% of Americans are converts to the Catholic faith. And so you look at, now that's not zero, 2% is not zero, but it's close enough to zero to make us really think, maybe we should retool this evangelization strategy. And I think for the last, I'm 32, so let's say the last 20 years, as far as I've been aware of evangelization and Catholicism, it's always either been that deacon in reach, we're going to put on an event, we hope people show up, or it's been this interpersonal evangelization. Both of those things have to be done.
Right.
But I think the 2% missing the 98% tells us that we're missing a whole category. And that whole category, I would argue, is geographical evangelization. So it's no longer, I happen to know Sam, or we happen to be doing a fish fry. But this is just the rectangle that our parish is responsible right. for. We're going to visit everybody.
And the rectangle's real. The rectangle's real. And, you know, you had talked about, I wasn't kidding. I'll say it this way. I wasn't kidding when I said it strikes fear in the hearts of most Catholics, because we're just not familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And so that 98% is really a looming number. That it's not, we don't, none of us have a plan to address it. Most parishes do not have a plan to address that. And so that's where sent evangelization. By the way, I'm talking to Austin Habish, and if you want to find out more about sent evangelization, you can go to sentevangelization.org. You'll find out all about it. I've been to the website, and it's very informative and helps you know. And I think one of the first things it talks about is like, we will help you. Mm-hmm. We know what to do. Mm-hmm. And you guys got some experience doing this stuff. So how do you help parishes? How do you help them to know, or an entire diocese, to sort of basically really change the culture that they're part of? How do you help them do that?
So we'll have one of two things. We'll have dioceses reach out, and they want more of a diocesan-wide kind of training, and then we'll have individual parishes reach out. So I'll be headed out to, I believe, Omaha pretty soon to launch a sent evangelization team at one of their parishes, but the diocese is inviting multiple parishes to come to that parish
okay.
to kind of see what it's like. They'll go knock doors for that parish, because part of the workshop is not only how do we do this, what is it, but we go for an hour, we go knock doors. So that would be an example of kind of a parish launch. A diocesan launch would be something like the Diocese of Lansing. So the diocese, who has a great bishop, just said, you know, it's written, right? Canon law. It's not unclear. We have to do this. We don't have a method to do this. So they would send out every month to all of their parishes saying, hey, we're going to pay for this. We want you guys to do this. All you need to do is raise your hand. Raise your hand. We'll fly them in. They'll run a workshop at your parish, and you'll have a team ongoing. And so I'm still speaking with parishes that we launched their team, and they're continuing to knock doors every Saturday. And so I'm speaking with them every weekend. How is it going? We're building their maps, whether it's an electronic map or we're designing a physical map for them. So we're supporting them as they go along. But those are kind of the two ways it's being done right now, individual
right.
parish. And then, of course, there's those parishes I have no idea that exist out there that have formed, that are watching the videos, buying a T-shirt, knocking doors.
That is awesome. Now, in terms of like, you're not just saying, you're not showing up at a parish or at the diocesan level and just saying, well, all right, you know, and y'all just go on out, start going. You've got a methodology. You've
we
got
do.
Something you've designed that is you found to be effective.
Yeah. So going back to the very beginning of Sent, so right after that whiteboard moment, we stepped out knocking doors and we asked that question, how do you do this in a Catholic way? And the first thing is, I thought I'd have to be prayerful, because God alone converts souls. Apart from him, he assures us we can do nothing. Second, we would have to provide room to preach Christ. Faith comes through what is heard, Romans 10:17. And then lastly, I thought I'd have to be charitable. And the reason I thought I'd have to be charitable is because of a story my grandfather told me growing up in South Sudan. So my grandfather said that in South Sudan, the Jews, Protestants, Muslims, and Catholics would all preach on the street corner. But he would tell me, and this is true, South Sudan is a majority Catholic country with a Catholic president, because when the Catholics came, they didn't just preach, they built homes. So that charitable aspect. So I looked at those three, what I took to be essential, necessary requirements of any kind of door-to-door evangelization: prayer, speaking about Jesus, charitable. And I said, that's just baptismal, priest, prophet, and king.
Yeah.
So we took that baptismal identity, we molded it into a method, we started knocking doors. In a story, one of the first encounters I had when we launched Sent as just a group of seminarians trying to figure out the method, I knock a door, lady comes outside. I say, I'm with Sent over at St. Vincent de Paul. I'd like to know how I can pray for you. She said, pray for my son. He took his own life a couple months ago. And he was about my age, young guy. That priestly part moved over into the prophetic, which at that time, this was many years ago, I was saying, hey, do you have any questions? Are you Catholic yourself? She said, nope, but Bob's hiding behind the door, her husband. He had dreaded that day, the Catholic's
good Catholic
parachute.
Man, hide behind the door.
I knew they'd find me eventually.
So I asked that question, didn't go anywhere with it, moved into the last portion on charity. I said, while I'm here, is there anything I can help with? She steps outside, this is about March. She points at her gutter line where her Christmas lights are still up. She said, my son put those up there. but he's no longer with us.
Yeah.
And I don't trust myself or my husband on a ladder. Do you think you can help us? I pluck Christmas lights from the roof. We would send her a handwritten letter. We'd come back at Easter with an Easter basket. And until I left the seminary, she was going to Mass.
Isn't that awesome? That's when you see, like, that's just affirmation. That's where the Lord gives you affirmation. Because we wonder, you know, are we making a difference? And then you realize in those little stories. It's one of the reasons why, you know, I've been involved in, like, RCIA, now OCIA, for so many years. And I never want to stop doing that, because that's like where the rubber meets the road, right? It's like where you're encountering individual souls and learning their stories and stuff. So I love the fact that you still do the door-to-door stuff yourself. You don't just, you know, oversee it.
Teach it, yeah. I have to. I love it. I absolutely love it. And speaking about the fruit, today, let's see, a couple days ago, 2 days ago, I knocked a door over the noon hour. It was the last door. So I try and go out for an hour. The very last door, Mike comes outside. Hey, Mike, I'm with a Catholic group. We pray for people. Are you familiar with prayer? And he says, yeah, I was raised Catholic. I go to a Protestant church. And he has kind of some struggles in his family. And I said, well, let's just pray. Can I pray for you? And the two things that I said in that prayer that I say often is I say, you know, Lord, you say in your word that whatever Mike did to the least, he did it to you. I'm the least. So I'm confident you'll repay him in this life and in the life to come. And then I'll point out, and I didn't say it in the prayer, I'll point out God's providence. As all of us know, a lot of Catholics don't go door to door, kind of new for us. I'll say, Mike, Catholics don't do this. So the fact that we're here right now tells you what God thinks about you, to have sent me to you. And he said, I'll see you on Sunday. So he told me at the end of the conversation, he said, what church do you go to? I'm just down the road, Christ the King. He said, I'll see you on Sunday. So We'll see if I see him in this upcoming week.
At that moment, though, I'm sure his heart felt that way. And then the Lord has to continue to work on him. If for whatever reason, if some other distraction keeps him from there. But it sounds like that's the kind of thing that really wakes people up or helps them to know that they are noticed by God. And that's where most people, when they're struggling, they feel unnoticed, right? And then that little bit of that simple thing you do. And the reason why I bring up the simple part of that is because we're talking to Catholics and say, that's really nice. That nice young man there, he's going around knocking on the doors and thanks for representing us. And that's really awesome you're doing that. On your website, you know, where you talk about, like, the different how your organization is structured, and in the support part, you got these people that are, like, doing like intercessory prayer and stuff.
Correct.
Who aren't necessarily knocking on doors, and then they have, like, little quotes next to them, and like just something from Ralph. I don't remember the guy's name, but I remember one guy said, like, I can see the change it's made in me and be able to share my faith. Like, just being involved in this, where a lot of Catholics don't feel comfortable sharing their faith, you know, and somehow working with Scent Evangelization, it's not only changing the culture around you and changing the big rectangle that's around you, it's changing you too, which is kind of cool.
And I would argue it is more about you than the people out there. Our Lord, when it comes to evangelization, God does not need us. I like to think about Job. So here's a holy saint of God. He's outside of God's people. I mean, he's not a son of Israel. I mean, so God can find people on his own terms. But as Pope Paul VI says in Evangelii Nuntiandi, because he picks up this question, because Vatican II opened this dialogue of, you know, can this person be saved? Can this other person be saved? And they're in kind of their own various circumstances. Paul VI kind of brushes that aside and he says, will you be saved if you don't preach the gospel? So it's less of, is this guy going to be all right? And it's more like, I have a responsibility. I know this truth. And what does it say about me if I can't step across the street just to see how people are doing? And the beauty about the Scent method is it's not, we'll teach the kerygma, but I mean, how often are you going to get the example I just gave? I didn't preach the gospel to this fallen away Catholic. I just showed up. We're just equipping people to show up, and more times than not, that is more than sufficient.
Now, go ahead.
I would say not only did they show up, but you show up out of love. You know, I can remember I grew up in the South, moved into a neighborhood, and there was a family that came by. There were like two in a series of 2 weeks who would bring a casserole or something like that. And they'd ask us where we go to church, and we would tell them we were Catholic. And then that was basically the end of the conversation. They were not really necessarily interested in getting to know us as a family, but whether or not they were going to attend their church. And I think what's great about the stories you're telling is that you show up and you're actually a neighbor. You're neighborly, and you're showing Christian love to another by praying for their intentions. And I think that's the inspiring thing for me that makes me want to grab a Bible and a pamphlet and go out there. Is I don't have to have any specific knowledge. I can just go love people like I know how to love people.
And the slogan we use really hones in on this. It says, based on identity, focused on charity. So of those three pieces of our baptismal identity, we could say based on identity, focused on intercessory prayer. Now, that's a component. There's people who do that. A deacon, as you mentioned, we could say based on identity, focused on preaching the gospel. But we really did. We chose very intentionally focused on charity, because it's not, I mean, just asking to pray for people is an act of charity. But we're going to send them a follow-up letter. Thank you for the gift of your time. Depending on what your parish can pull off, you're going to come back with an Easter basket. Hopefully your parishes are sending mailers into the neighborhood anyways. So it really is. That's what we're trying to do. We love you. Obviously, I'll tell people, I'm Catholic. I want everyone to become Catholic. You're on your own journey. Let's talk about that journey. Where, you know, are you of a particular faith background?
That is awesome. It just calls to mind again. Just, it's funny how the stuff always affirms. And you think back in your life, all these experiences. And I, in an RCIA class many years ago, I had a guy named Dick McKittrick, and may his memory be eternal. You know, he's with our Lord now, but he was a convert. He was converting, and it took him 3 years. He was in the class for 3 years. He was an older guy, and he went through the whole year. He very not argumentative, but he was one of those really serious discerners. Always had all these questions. Spent the whole time, you know, at the end of that year, it was like, okay, so Dick, this is traditionally where people, it's like, this is what we're going to do, the thing, the Easter Vigil, it's coming up. Are you interested? No, and I think I'm not ready yet, whatever. He was there for 3 whole years.
Wow.
Went through that process 3 years. And I had asked him, like, why are you wanting to be, are you just, because what I didn't know is, like, is he a lonely old guy who just liked the company and liked to be around people? And he said, you know, the thing is, why I'm here, it's the only reason I'm here is I miss my wife. He met a little French girl when he was in World War II. He met a French girl, married her, a French Catholic girl, and he was always Protestant. And he said all through his life he was Protestant, and all through his marriage he was Protestant. And he said, you know, the way that the Catholics treated me and my wife when she was dying of cancer, and how they treated her, they didn't even know us, and how they treated her, it's like, I've just, in these last few years, realized I need to be in that community. And so it was just literally that was what put him over the edge and said, I got to be with these people. He, by the way, he came into the church after the third year. He died 3 months later.
Wow.
I just look at that and I go, like, if that's not a story that was written in heaven, I don't know what is. But it's very impactful to me, because it helps us to know. It's just those simple, that loving someone is the greatest evangelistic tool that you could ever pull out of the bag.
And sometimes this simple love for absolute strangers, not only can it be maybe the most effective kind of evangelization, sometimes it's this easiest. Now we're using words like simple. The method is absolutely simple. It can be difficult for people to get used to something that's new, maybe encountering strangers. But I just think about in my own world, those two kinds of evangelization. So affinity evangelization, I'm going to evangelize people I already know, my cousin, my family members, or geographical with total strangers. And I've seen way more fruit in the latter, just numbers-wise, or even this story I told from a couple days ago. Compare that, I'm going to be evangelizing my cousin. I've been evangelizing him for the last 10 years. We'll pray the rosary together, and he's still not Catholic.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like we kind of do a disservice to people when we force them to go back and evangelize their family members, who might be the most difficult people to evangelize, whether that's because they're falling away and it's a real hard fall, or there's that wall of wounds and barriers in that kind of a relationship It's much easier just to step across the street, and I'll go out with the slippers and the coffee, trying to look like a neighbor. And I mean, I'm not too far away from where I'm knocking doors now, so I'm kind of a neighbor. And just have a conversation with people. People who are like a moment away from coming back.
That is interesting because that, you know, when you said that, I'm sitting there going like, wait, you just educated me, because it's like our first blush is to go back to our family, right? Mm-hmm. Our first blush is to do that. And then you start realizing scripture tells us that, you know, a prophet's not welcome in his own hometown. It's a much harder, I say sell, that's the wrong word.
Endeavor.
Wrong word. It's laden with all kind of complexities that involve emotions and family, and all the blood is thicker than water stuff. That's really, really hard. And sometimes it's like, look, let's go out and do, and people will see that. And that's still part of evangelizing your family when they're seeing like, man, he's over there talking to all these people.
Good point. Really good point.
If you focus on loving that family member and not trying to convert them, oftentimes they know that you're in it for them, mm-hmm. which is what family's supposed to be about, you know? And I think that's the inspiring thing, too. It takes the pressure off of you so that you can go and love them for who they are.
And the collateral damage as well, when it comes to evangelizing your friends and family, there's always that possibility of, if I take this step and it goes sour, well, I can't remove myself from this relationship. So there, in a way, there's
awkward Thanksgiving dinner
for the rest of your life. There's so much less to lose when it comes to talking to the total stranger and praying with them.
Well, but there's so much to gain if we do talk to the stranger. And so if you want to find out more information about Austin Habish and his organization, Scent Evangelization, just go to scentevangelization.org. Austin, it's an awesome thing that you're telling us about. A challenge to Sam and I. We're going to have to go out and figure out something here in the Diocese of Memphis.
Let's do it.
We're going to do that. And so we really appreciate you being here and visiting with us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's ask the Blessed Mother to be with us on this journey of evangelization. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.